Do mi. I know they want to yak, and I understand that. I'd rather be doing that too, probably right now. Yeah. Here we go. You are the song that I sing. Do mi. The words and the music. You are the song that I sing. You are the harmony. I will be. You are the Lord of lords. You are the mighty God. You are the King of all kings. So now I give back to you the songs that you gave to me. You are the song that I sing two more times. You are the words and the music. You are the song I sing. Your melody, holy praise your name. I bring your Lord of lords, mighty God, your King of all kings. So I give back songs you gave me, your song that I sing, that I sing. You are the music, you are the song I sing, your King of all kings. So I give back songs you gave me, your song that I sing, that I sing. Next one, Coat of Many Colors. This one may get a revision. I'm hearing many that are saying that they heard it different ways, and so we'll see. But we'll deal with this. This is the way we'll do it this time. Coat of Many Colors. Two times through. No soul. 'Twas the coat of many colors that the Bible tells about, and 'twas made for Joseph only, while his brothers did without. And when jealousy o'ertook them, they said, Joseph, you must die. But the Lord protected Joseph, lives like he would you and I. If you want the Lord to keep you and guide you all the way, just read your Bible daily and trust him every day. Just count your many blessings, you will find him good and true. And he'll never, never leave you, but will always see you through again. 'Twas the coat of many colors that the Bible tells about, and 'twas made for Joseph only, while his brothers did without. And when jealousy o'ertook them, they said, Joseph, you must die. But the Lord protected Joseph, just like he would you and I. If you want the Lord to keep you and guide you all the way, just read your Bible daily and trust him every day. And he'll never, never leave you, but will always see you through. Psalm 1. Psalm 1. Verses 1 and 2. No. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Again, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly,
nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth
All right. Elijah. Elijah. Do, mi, so. All five verses, straight through. Do, mi, so. There was a man of God who lived a long, long time ago, who told the king there's no more rain. On Carmel's mount this prophet stood to prove
that was true, for Baal was false, his prophets lied with fire they could not do. Then this red, red, and fire came down and everybody knew.
Elijah, Elijah, a prophet brave and true. Elijah prayed and rain came down upon the ground, but Ahab's wife said he'd be dead if only he were found. For 40 days he traveled on to find a place to hide. Elijah, Elijah, fear not, God's on your side. Go tell Ahab that they have sinned and they shall surely die. For Jezebel has made the plan and stolen with a lie. And they have killed a very good man and taken what he had. Elijah, Elijah, they surely have been bad. Now God would take this man to heaven in such a splendid way. His work was done, he had been true, this was his happy day. God sent his fire chariot down and swept him to the sky. Elijah, Elijah, he did not have to die. Okay. All right, let's go to some review and a question from yesterday and some other related things, or maybe even not related. That's not where I want to start. Okay, I have a trivia question. Maybe you saw the answer before I got it up here in this form. Okay, and this one you'll have to answer today. I'm not going to give you till tomorrow because I don't plan on being here tomorrow, and I guess most of you don't either. So, well, actually, probably some of you will be here having to clean up and that kind of stuff, too. Okay, trivia question. Who is, and this comes from a comment that, as I understood Mark to say, he might not like me saying something about music being just physics. Chemistry teachers might not like this, but really all science is physics. Really, we just have specific ones that we call chemistry and biology and some of the others, but they're all forms of physics, or at least real science. Okay, who's credited with saying music and mathematics hold the keys to the universe? Someone beside my son knows, and that's good. Huh? Mark Herman? Well, if he said that, he got it from somebody else, so there was someone who had the notion before him. Do you have any idea, Mark? Okay. Steve? Pythagoras. Remember that guy? Pythagoras? You've probably heard of him. He had a theorem. If you've been in a geometry class, he may have been the bane of your existence. Greek mathematician, lived, I think, about 300 years before the Common Era, before Christ. And the Pythagorean theorem is A squared plus B squared equals C squared if you have what kind of figure? A right triangle. It has to be a right triangle. That is a triangle with a right angle. And in a right triangle, the long side of the triangle we call the hypotenuse. And the sum of the two sides squared, the two legs squared, is equal to the hypotenuse squared. And we call them A, B, and C. A being one of the shorter sides, B being the other short side, C being the longest side of the hypotenuse, A squared plus B squared equals C squared, or the sum of the two legs squared, the sum of the squares of the two legs equals the hypotenuse squared. Okay, so he came up with that, but he also did some other stuff. He's best known for his work in mathematics because we named a theorem after him, and if you've taken a geometry or other math classes, you may have had to use that to solve some of your math problems. The Pythagorean theorem. But Pythagoras also, he was actually had many interests, but he had a great interest in music, and he is credited, this is a little lesser known tidbit, but he is credited with making the seven-tone scale. He didn't use do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do, the solfege, but what we call do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. Why do we use those seven, and then repeating the do to make eight, why do we use those seven tones? Well, Pythagoras says we're going to use these seven tones, because there's lots of other possibilities, but he says we're going to use these seven tones, and because of their mathematical relationship between them. I'm not going to take the time to explain some of that, but it is kind of an interesting study of mathematics. And probably for many of you, you probably even didn't know Pythagoras had anything to do with music. But he was very, I mean, we still use that scale. And he said, use these notes because of the mathematics. He thought there was some sort of spiritual thing involved in that, and I don't go along with all of that. But the math is kind of interesting. And to me, it's interesting even how he was able to figure it out. Today, we have instruments where we can measure the number of vibrations per second, such as 256 or 440 or whatever it is, where we can measure that. We have instruments that can measure that. But in Pythagoras' day, he had no such advantage. He figured all this out on a single-stringed instrument with a movable bridge and using ratios and other mathematical tools. And came up with what we now call the seven-tone scale, which I think is kind of an interesting area of study, and that's all I'm going to say about that. But there's maybe another seed that some of you might want to go and look that up and figure that all out. And it's kind of neat stuff. Gets into the area of acoustics, which actually Mark was talking about. In fact, he talked about sympathetic vibrations or resonance, and I've taken a little bit of acoustics courses, and the first course I took was a non-mathematical approach to acoustics. Well, you can do that and scratch the surface, but if you're going to really study acoustics, you need to be able to do the math, and I happen to kind of like math, so that doesn't bother me. Go ahead, give me the math. But as soon as you really start studying acoustics in depth, the math gets complex pretty quickly. So just be ready for it if you study that. Mark had the tuning fork and tube demonstration today, and I had a similar... Were you here for my pitch pipe demonstration, Mark, last week? Okay. That's really the same idea or a similar idea, in that the pitch pipe, when you're blowing through it, creates a sound. And then when I was humming, that created a sound. And then as those two sounds become the same pitch, the beating or the dissonance between them goes away. Where you have the, well, want to do it again? Okay, we'll do it again. Oh, if you insist. But I will need to borrow a pitch pipe. Eldon always has one for me. I thought I can make this without a pitch pipe, and that just didn't work. And again, for those who may not have been here, quite grasp what I was doing, I'm going to blow through the pitch pipe and hum at the same time. And I originally brought this up as this is a way to practice matching pitch for those who have issues of being able to match pitch. If you're by yourself, this kind of a thing is a way to do it. And there's some acoustics issues getting involved in here related to sympathetic vibration. When I am close but not right there. There will be, it's what's called beating, and you'll hear it. It'll go like that. And the closer you get, the slower the beating goes. So I'm gonna hum and adjust my hummed pitch up and down a little bit. And you can tell when it beats faster, I am further away. When it beats slower, I am closer. And when I get it right on, the beating stops. Okay, is this on? Might be better to do it through this microphone.
Testing.
As you move away, you get that beating in there, and the closer you are to the desired pitch, the less that will happen until that beating. The beating are simply the vibrations interfering with one another, and to the point where what we end up hearing is the beating part in addition to the pitches. Okay, and I'd like to suggest a bathroom. I'm not going to actually demonstrate this, but I'd like to suggest a bathroom demonstration for those of you who'd like more. And it doesn't have to be in a bathroom. It just happens to work in these bathrooms. And it works in these bathrooms because of all the hard surfaces in these particular... At least it works in the men's room. I haven't been in the ladies' room and tried it. But it probably works there too. And you can hum. I like to hum. And try and hum as close to a sine wave pitch as you can. And hum up and down, and don't have other people trying this at the same time. I've demonstrated this before and had with some younger kids, and then they all wanted to do it all at the same time, and pretty soon you couldn't hear anything except everybody humming different pitches and stuff. It really needs to be one person humming. The others can listen, but one person humming, and adjust your pitch up and down, and you will get to a point where all of a sudden it just gets way louder, and you have found a resonant vibration for that room. And rooms with hard surfaces, pedestrian tunnels are great. I love them. You got that great big old long tube, and if you can get that whole tube vibrating, and if you find the pitch, then try, if you can hit the octave lower, do that one too, and you get the whole tube going, whoa, whoa, whoa. And people can't figure out where the sound's coming from because it's a sine wave, you know, and who's doing that, you know? Kind of like the playing of the I don't know. I'm on my way. I'll go ahead. Playing of the crystal. Have you done that? You take some nicer glassware, crystal glass, and you can wet it a little bit, either with your tongue or with the liquid that's in it, and then rub the top of it, and it'll make a sound. And at a senior event in high school, they were certain that there was something wrong with the sound system. You know. Okay, it's that kind of idea, only you can do it by humming. And you just go, or whatever the pitch is, slide up and down, and you'll find it. All of a sudden it'll do that. And you found the pitch. Then try it an octave lower if you can do that, and it should be just as big too. Okay, you can have fun with that. I really gave you two things. I gave you the glass thing too. Use discretion.
Saying that by vibration, a person's tone deaf can blow the right pitch through? I am saying for the person who has pitch matching challenges, tone deaf is not a term that I prefer to use, but that's sometimes what we call people. For a person who has pitch matching challenges, I think that is a learnable skill, unless there is a physical impediment such as being able to produce sound or being able to hear. Either of those could be a problem. But assuming that those are okay, then it's just a matter of learning to match pitch. And some people have struggled with that for a long time. And one way to practice is this. A better way, you were not here when I mentioned this, a better way, in my opinion, to practice is with a second person listening and being able to tell you, that, no, that's a little bit low, a little higher, a little higher. There you've got it. That kind of a thing. And it takes patience. Some people just sort of naturally are able to do that well. And some, it takes a lot of work. It is, in my opinion, a learnable skill. And I have people here that I could point to and say, they've learned to do it. So those people have helped me to be convinced. It's sort of an opinion I already had anyway, but I'm even more convinced that it is learnable. Does that answer your question? Okay. And this is one way to do that. The bathroom thing won't help you with that at all. It's just fun to do. Okay, other questions? All right. I mentioned these when we were reviewing. The issue was how to overcome nervousness when participating in the public worship, particularly song leading, specific to song leading. And I mentioned verbally, but I did not put them in a list here for you, some things that I suggest song leaders do until you are able to do this just at sight, because you really need to have all of these pieces of information. Write down what songbook you're going to use if you have more than one songbook. Is this one in the blue book or the red book? And announce that first. We're going to sing 231, and everybody turns to 231 in the red book, in the blue book. Close the book, get the other one out, and turn to 231. So book first. Makes it easier. Then the song number and song name. Okay, book first, then the number. And again, for the beginning song leader, I would write all of these pieces of information down. You can have maybe on a line, you know, this is all that information for that song. And then the next line, this is all the information for the next song. The key, what key is this song in? Because I recommend that's the note you blow on the pitch pipe, not the starting pitch necessarily, the key. Whatever key it's in. And we talked about flats and sharps and how you can look at the number of sharps or the number of flats and tell all of that. Then sound out, sing out the tonic triad, the do, mi, sol, so that everyone has a chance of getting their pitch. You know, if the soprano note starts on mi and you just softly blow and figure out what mi is in your head, either by blowing that pitch or just, you know, using a tuning fork or however you do it, and mi is the only pitch that's there and you just start singing, it may be two or three or four measures later that the tenor and alto and bass get figured out what their notes are and join in with you. It'd be nicer to have everybody start together. And I think to help facilitate that, if we sing the tonic triad, 99% of our songs start on the tonic triad, so everybody has their starting note. It's going to be a do or a mi or a sol. Figure out what conducting frame, the conducting pattern you're going to use. Am I going to conduct this in two, in three, or in four? I'm going to talk about that a little bit more in just a minute. And figure out where the starting beat are and your preparatory beat. Where is your hand going to start? Just because the song's in four doesn't mean it starts necessarily on beat one. The song might start on beat four. The song might start on beat three or two. Or beat one. So figure out where the song starts and where does my hand need to begin so that I can give an appropriate preparatory beat and everybody start hopefully together. Okay, along the issue of conducting frames, I haven't really said anything about this. Here's the quick and easy summation of all of that. I am going to, most of our songs we can conduct in either two, three, or four. I'm going to be a proponent of, if you're, when you're starting, keep it simple. Know the 2 pattern, the 3 pattern, and the 4 pattern. Here they are. I'll show you. The 2 pattern, kind of like a backwards J from the conductor's point of view. Okay? So, 1, 2. 1, 2. 1, 2. 1, 2. And I like to give a little flip at the... Okay, music students. What's this thing called? That flip point. Okay, we got one who knows. This is for the advanced music students. 2. Everybody do it with me. I'm going to use my left hand so you can use your right hand and you can just mirror what I am. So it's kind of a J thing. Out. Up. 1. 2. 1. 2. And the little flip is called a... Ictus. Be sure the ictus is clear. Where is the beat? 1, 2. 1, 2. 1, 2. Okay? Now, some things to avoid. The 2 pattern is sometimes one of the more challenging ones. And some things to avoid is making 1 and 2 in the same place. Some people like to do so much of a U that it sometimes becomes unclear which one's 1 and which one's 2, and am I making a U or a circle, or what am I doing here? Which is why I kind of like the J approach.
With 2 really being in a different place than 1. Okay, the 3 pattern. Down, out, and up. 1, 2, 3. And again, I flip the ictus at the ictus. 3. Down, out, up. I'll switch to left hand. You can go do it with me. 2, 3. Down, out, up. Down, out, up. Down, out, up. Okay, the 4 pattern. Down, in, out, up. Down, in, out, up. Down, in, out, up. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. On the 1 and 3, excuse me, on the 2 and 3 patterns, beat 1 is the important one. I'll do a song in 3. I'm just going to sing it first. You know the tune probably. See if you can figure out where 1 is and start conducting once you've figured out where 1 is. This song is in 3. Da 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 dun 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 da 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 dun 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 da 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 dun dun dun. Dun dun da 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 dun 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 da 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 dun 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 dun. Hear how one always has da 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 emphasis. It has the main da 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 dun dun da. Dun 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 bum 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 ba dum ba dum bum ba dum bum. Okay? All right. See if you can feel where the main emphasis needs to be. A song in 2, beat 1 is gonna have the main emphasis. A song in 3, beat 1 is gonna have the main emphasis. Now 4 is a little more complicated. Beat 1 has the main emphasis, but beat 3 has a less of an emphasis, a minor emphasis, more than the others. So it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. Let me think of a song. That would be a good one. Two, I believe. Yeah, it's in 6:8. This one works. Here we go. No, it doesn't have enough three beats. Let me pick another one. This one works. Here we go. This one is one that we know. Songs in four will have strong beat on one and a less strong beat on three. Okay? All right. See if you can feel that as you are conducting. Practice. Yes. Question, comment? Oh. Sure. Okay? The vertical bar that crosses the five lines of the staff, it tells us, it measures a unit called a measure. And the first note after that bar line is always beat one. So if you want to see it visually, let's pull something up here. If you want to see it visually, this way I get to point. I've obviously played around with this. You're seeing my notes. This vertical line right here, it's called a bar line, and it tells us this is the end of the first measure and the beginning of the second measure. The second measure is in between these two bar lines. That's a measure. And it's a certain amount of time in 4-4. That means we have the equivalent of four quarter notes there. The first note after the bar line is always beat one. So there, 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 there. So on this song, hand would go down at here, 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 and here. Those are beats one in each case. Peace, perfect peace in this, right there, this dark world of sin. Okay? So that's something particularly for the new song here, if you get lost in the pattern, and that's easy to do. There's several things you can do. See if you can feel it. Look for the bar lines. And you can maybe just do this until you find a bar line and then go back to your four pattern.
One of the things I'm teaching at Solid Classical Ways of Ice, this wasn't my idea, it was Drew Tetmeyer's idea, so I'll give credit to But really, I was surprised how well it works. When we're all around the table, all coming into one song, every time we come across one of those, come down to one beat, we all come down and just kind of hit the table. And I didn't really think about it, but he said that was really something that helped him, and it was amazing how many people
got better.
All of a sudden get on, and it came across down, and it came and just kind of hit the table.
Okay. So make sure that the one is really emphasized, and the hitting of the table could help that until you get the feel for it. Rachel? Okay. All right. That's a good comment. One that I probably wouldn't have thought, because maybe I just do it naturally kind of thing. But the motion of the hand down should be faster than the motion of the hand up. Okay. I always think of just be sure I have a clear ictus. And that seems to solve all of those issues for me. It makes that natural. But that's another way of thinking of it. Good point. Okay. Yes. Right. This song, since we're talking about prepared, well, let me finish with this, and then we'll come back to this. Ooh, they're looking at all my slide. Okay, the time signature can help us to determine what pattern we want to use. The time signature is those numbers at the beginning. A number on top of another number. Okay? The top number is the one you need to pay the most attention to when you're trying to figure out what conducting frame do I use. My suggestions are the following. If the top number is 2, use a conducting frame of 2, a 2 pattern. If the top number is 3, what do you think? If the top number is 4, 4, okay? Pretty simple. In fact, all of the ones usually that have 2, 3, and 4 at the top are what we call simple meters. If the top number is 2, we call it a simple duple. If the top number is 3, we call it a simple triple. And if the top number is 4, we call it a simple quadruple. Okay? These are the simple ones. Simple duple, simple triple, simple quadruple, and it really doesn't matter what the bottom number is in determining that. It's the top number. Okay? The bottom number must always be a power of 2. Now be careful, mathematicians. The bottom number must always be a power of 2. List for me powers of 2. I'll start you, because you probably won't list this one first. 1. 1, 2, 4, 8, not 6, 16, 32, 64, 128, 256, 512, 1024, 2048, etc. Okay, well, you don't need to go that far. You can go to 16 and you'll be pretty good. The bottom number is probably going to be a 1, 2, 4, 8, or 16. Maybe a 32, probably not. A power of 2. It will not be 6. The bottom number will never be 6. We don't have a thing called a sixth note. It's not multiples of 2. Not 2, 4, 6, 8. Powers of 2. 1, 2, 4, 8, 16. Okay, now, if these are the simple ones, what do you think the other ones are called? Difficult. Compound is the word we use. Compound meters. And the compound meters usually don't have a 2, 3, or 4 at the top. They've got something else. Usually a 6. And if the top number is 6, we conduct it in 2. Or a 9. What do you think we might conduct a song where the top number is a 9 in? 3. Or a 12. If the top number is 12, 4. So if this was... If the top number is a 2, if that's a simple duple, and that's a simple triple, and that's a simple quadruple, this is a compound duple. and a compound triple and a compound quadruple. There's actually some sense to why it is this way. I don't necessarily want to take the time today to explain all of it, but you know, if you're really interested, why is a song in 12-8 lead in 4, and why do we call that a compound quadruple? There is some sense to all of that, and I'll be glad to explain it, and it really doesn't take all that long. But just to know what conducting frame to use, this is what you need to know. This is the basics. This is all you need to know. Now, maybe a really slow song in 6, you might actually want to conduct in 6. But you could conduct it in 2, just really slowly in 2. Okay? All right. Now, with that in mind, good question. Correct. Right. A song that goes really fast in 4, you might actually want to slow the conducted beat down and put it in 2. Or a fast song in 3, you might just want to do in 1. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Instead of going 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, which can get tiresome. Okay. The conducting pattern for 6, typically you want to group them in 2 groups of 3. There's several ways to do it, but probably the best is in 2 groups of 3. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1 and 4 are going to be the emphasized ones. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Something like that. Okay? All right. Let me back up a couple of slides here. I did talk about the starting beat and all of that. If you have figured out the starting beat, where does the song start? On what beat does it start? My recommendation is back up 2 from there. And that's where your hand will start. Now, you don't beat that one, that beat. That's where your hand starts to give a preparatory beat and then sing. So if the song is in 4, and let's say it starts on beat 4, then backing up 2, your hand would be at 2. 3 would be the preparatory beat. Song starts on 4, so it might be bum bum ba dum ba dum bum bum ba dum ba dum, something like that. Bum 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 bum. No, notice I didn't beat 2. You do that, and then you're giving 2 preparatory beats, and you probably fake out the group. Dun 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 dun. Okay, so the song we were looking at, let's exit out of this for just a minute and do the piece, just look at it by way. This song starts on beat 1. We have a full 4 beats at the beginning. It starts on beat 1. So beat 1, back up 2, 4, 3 is where my hand needs to start. So let me pitch. Key of C. Do. Mi, sol, do, sol. See, I gave all of those pitches before I settled on sol, which is the soprano note. So everybody has a better chance of getting their pitch. So we can all start together, which is kind of nice. Do, sol, mi, do, mi, sol. So hand will be at 3. I'll just demonstrate for you. And it'll be like this. Breath. Peace, perfect peace. Okay, so again, hand is at 3, breath, peace, and conduct the preparatory beat at the same tempo, the same speed as what you want the song to go at. Okay, let's do it and see if we can all start together. No, sol, mi, do, mi, sol. Okay, we were perfect by perfect. Okay? We were not all on peace together. Let's see if we can all be at peace with each other. Okay? Hand at 3. Ready? Better. One more time. Hand at 3. Ready? Okay? Now, back to this. So these are things that I recommend the song leader write down, particularly for new song leaders. Write all this stuff down so that you're not fumbling trying to figure it out. Now, I've studied music enough that I don't have to write all of these things down. I can look at the song and pretty quickly figure them out. But, you know, if you're still struggling to figure out, okay, let's see, four flats, that's the key of, that's fine if you're not quite there. But do that work ahead of time so that it's on the paper and you know four flats is the key of A flat. Okay? And you, so you just have A flat there, and I know, okay, A flat's what I'm going to blow on the, what I'm going to sound on the pitch pipe. All right, any questions before I press on to yesterday's question, which sort of relates to this, since it's a song leading question? The question was longer than this from yesterday that was posed, and it had some specifics about a particular person and a particular incident. But if I boil it down, this is the question. What do you do when the song leader does it wrong? Do we sing it the correct way anyway? Got some strong voices and you just punch it on through? And maybe the song leader isn't quite as strong a voice? Or do we follow the song leader, even though they're doing it wrong? Now, you're not going to like the answer that I have for this. And the answer is it really depends, I think, on a lot of circumstances. How wrong is it, whatever it is that they're doing wrong? Like, is it completely the wrong tune? Which sometimes we do. You know, we have maybe a set of words, and there's several tunes, and we're just singing the wrong one. Or they just don't remember the tune. And sometimes when you don't remember the tune, you just make up stuff as you go. Maybe that's the way the Coat of Many Colors ended up being in this particular version. You know, it gets handed down from person to person to person by the time I heard it. And maybe I didn't even listen all that carefully, but I'm not sure this part, so you just, it'll be like this. Yeah, that works. That sounds good. Is that what's going on? I think it really depends on what's the problem. How severe is this? In some cases, I think it's appropriate just to stop and maybe start over, or stop and do a different song. You know, nobody knows this song, including the song leader, not very well either. Maybe we just need to learn this song later, kind of thing. Or sometimes, you know, it's just a slight variation from what's printed, so we'll go with that. Use some discretion. At least at that moment in time. Now, some things about that, though. I suggest that you help the song leader do it correctly. Some of this would not be appropriate to do actually while the song is being led. Some of it actually could be. First of all, let's help the song leader to be sure that he has some proper instruction. If he's trying to lead a four pattern and just doesn't know the four pattern and is going all over the place, then maybe he needs some instruction on how to do the four pattern, for example. Help to be sure that he's properly prepared. Yeah, he knows all this stuff, and he usually writes it all down, but this time, for whatever reason, he didn't, and things go way askew. So, kindly help him to be properly prepared. And help him with a proper execution. This is where I think some things can be done, if it's done in an appropriate way, actually on the fly, while the song is being sung. We've done some song leading instruction at Long Beach, and it just so happens that I sit close to the front. John Lee always bragged about sitting in the front. Look where he is right now. John Lee talked about sitting in the front. I don't sit in the front, but I can sit couple of pews back and I'm still in the front, because there's nobody in the front.
except when it comes time to pass the emblems. So I sit near the front, and the song leader can see me. And if I know he's struggling with, like, where is the one beat on this, I just start conducting. And I use my left hand, and they'll use their right hand, so it's a mirror image. I just start doing this, and pretty soon I see the eyes go up, they see me, and they click onto it, and they're back on track. And there's no big scene about it, nobody's embarrassed. When you're learning, you don't know it all, or it's not, there's nothing natural necessarily about this. It requires practice. And until it becomes second nature to you, it's going to feel awkward. So practice. And if somebody needs to sit near the front and just do this, or maybe really on the front pew, because I have to hold my hand high enough that it's above the back of the bench in front of me, on the front pew, you can even be like down here, where only the song leader can see you. Got it, okay? And there are a lot of things like that that can help. If they're just slightly off on the tune, maybe just you who know the tune singing just slightly louder to help them get there. So there's some things that can be done while the execution of the song is going on, as well as, of course, we can't say enough about proper instruction and proper preparation. I don't know that I want to spend a lot of time asking for your input on these, because we could spend the rest of the time about that, and I want to sing some. But if someone has something that you think will really add to what I've just said to this, something I've missed, or something that will that'll be just slightly different but makes it all bigger all of a sudden, kind of like the bathroom thing. Yes, Keith.
I would not, however, suggest trying to overpower a person starting a song. I was recently in a congregation. I quit singing because there were four separate keys being sung simultaneously on the same song. If the song leader does not have a tone that you think is correct, my suggestion is patiently and kindly work with him later, but sing with him.
Yeah.
Because he is the one single focal point that you can have. And I know that some of the brothers and sisters have very strong voices, and they think, you know, I can pull this song. But what happens if you've got two or three people who all decide that they know better than the song leader, and that they can help the song leader? So, great idea, but on a starting note, my suggestion would be, for good or bad, stick with the song leader.
Assuming that the song leader has established a starting note to begin with. Sometimes I hear the first phrase, and it seems like they're changing keys three or four times within the first phrase, because they're not sure in their mind exactly where they want to go with it. And as far as the song leader, on the song leader side of this, and I appreciate the comment, thank you. As far as the song leader is concerned, don't be afraid to stop and start over. If you really just have it too high, do we need to go through five verses of it way too high? No, we don't have to do that. We can stop and start over and pitch it a little lower and try again. It's okay.
And if you're having pitch problems and you stop, I've seen situations where the leader tries to start on a different note and it just came off.
Yeah, sometimes you've got that one in your mind and you can't find another one.
And there is no harm in asking someone specifically, can you help me start this song?
Right.
And then you have that individual has an opportunity to help the song advance.
Yeah, better to do it with permission than forcefully, yes. Some of this is opinion. The sliding and the emphasis on the second part of the diphthong and some things like that that are stylistic of that type of singing, I don't think work well in a choral setting. And by choral, I mean everybody singing together. For example, on the issue of, it's an issue of timing. Not everybody's going to slide to the same place. Not everybody's going to go to the second pit, the second syllable, the second vowel sound, the second vowel sound of the diphthong at the same time. And it ends up being kind of weird. Typically, what you might see in the professional recordings, first of all, you rarely hear a big group sing in that style. But if you're going to have a recording where there's some big group, maybe they're a backup to some singer and they got a big group, the big group is all doing it the way I've sort of instructed you. And then maybe they'll voice over 4 or 8 singers doing it in the stylistic thing, and it sounds like sort of everybody's doing it that way, but they aren't. Just those few 4, and that's enough to get that feel to it. So I don't recommend it for the congregational singing, for the choral type, style of singing. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I just wondered if it
messed up. Well, it's hard to say what things mess up song leaders. I mean, that really varies from individual to individual. But it could be a point of, particularly one that's not expecting that. They're visiting a congregation and everybody sings it that way and they don't. And that might be a point of difficulty. Lewis?
Just on the other side of it, I can think of a small congregation out of southern Missouri. And they sing with twang, or it has a real stylistic feel, but it feels real grassroots. I mean, you feel like you're with the people of the earth, you know, here, mm-hmm. and this is what we do. It's very real.
Mm-hmm. And probably they've done it enough where they can all coordinate with each other and it works out okay. And then, you know, you had the southern phrase of bless their hearts, and then you can say anything about them you want, you know? Bless their hearts. That's the way they do it, right? Right. Okay, let's do some more singing, please. Let's do Near Him. Blue Songbooks, 2, 4, 3. No sol mi do mi sol. I'll turn this off. These are dynamic markings, means very soft. 1P, piano, means soft in volume, we're talking here. MP, mezzo piano, means somewhat soft. MF, mezzo forte, somewhat loud. F, forte, loud. 2Fs, fortissimo, very loud. Those are the normal ones. Occasionally you see others, but those are the ones that I think really should be used. Going from soft to loudest. If we continue with getting even louder, fortissimo, very, very loud, with 3 Fs, 4 Fs, fortississississimo, very, very loud. Going the other end, softer than pianissimo, pianississimo, very, very soft, 4 Ps, pianississimo, very, very, very soft. Okay, and in this song we have soft piano to mezzo piano, somewhat soft, with a crescendo, C-R-E-S-C, crescendo means getting louder, to a forte, loud, then up at the top of the second page, a diminuendo, D-I-M for diminuendo, meaning getting soft, finishing up on P-P, pianissimo, very soft at the end. Try not, you have a long time though to go from loud to very soft. So try not to get, you know, go suddenly soft kind of thing. Take your time gradually working it down. Notice what's happening overall with the pitch too. I'll do the bass line. Amen, amen.
that. What happened there, besides getting a louder issue, and I probably started too loud, gets higher. Amen, 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 amen. Okay, each time, each one, it's that little four-note sequence. Bum, 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 bum. Gets repeated, and each time a little bit higher. Bum, 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 bum. And then we hit the top note for the bass, which is right at where the F is. Bum, 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 and now what happens? Amen. What are we doing now? We're going down. Men, men, amen, amen, amen. I got lost on pitch there. Let me do that right. From where the last one of the ones that go up. Amen, 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 amen. And that low G is kind of hard to sing for some men, because it's way down there. You have to speak it a little sooner, and you may not be able to make it loud. But fortunately, we're already almost to the very softest part. So basses, you can hit it up a little more, just so everybody can be sure to hear it, because it's a neat note, and you'll probably be fine. Tom, question?
Are we all starting?
Well, the tempo part, you're just going to have to watch the conductor. The poco a poco a ritardando is a tempo thing. Little by little gets slower. That's that part. Now, the diminuendo part, just try and think of it as sort of almost a constant. I'm going to keep on getting softer and softer and softer until I get really soft at the end. Okay? And your moving parts, as I mentioned yesterday, moving parts do need to be just a little bit louder each time. I would start it right. I would start it right at the beginning of the second page. Yeah, yeah. But what I noticed yesterday, the reason I'm commenting on that, what I noticed yesterday is, as soon as we started getting soft, it went way soft early, and it doesn't need to go way soft early. You have a long time to get down to very soft. Okay, and be sure loud is okay. And we talked about singing over the song leader. No, nobody's done that with me. So, and don't you try it. Yes.
Is there a way that you can increase your range?
Yes.
I am jealously would like to get that G in at this time. Happening.
Okay.
Is there things you do that you?
It's not all that great, but it's better than it was, and yes, and the short answer to that is voice lessons with a good instructor, and they can help you work on range. class voice lessons at the junior college, which will give you all the same technique. You just don't have the individual personal instruction. But they will cover the same kind of stuff. Most junior colleges give class voice lessons if they have a decent music department. Which, my sister Christy, when I was in junior high, she was the accompanist for the class voice, the voice classes, and she drugged me along and said, "Here, Michael, you sing with the others and learn how to do this." And it was pretty good stuff. So thanks, Christy. Blame her. there are a couple of little tricks with the low things that I'd be glad to share with you, maybe on an individual basis, since I'm almost equally overtime as you are right at this point. And I'd like to sing the song. But it's a good question, and that's the short answer to that. And maybe not an answer we like, but yes, it can be worked on. and a good voice instruction can help with that.
What do you say?
Oh, come on, I can't laugh too. All right, 6:14. Let's stand.
Do we soul.